Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio program. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling. So glad that you joined us on the broadcast today. Before I get to the text of Scripture that I want to specifically zero in on today, which is normally, especially on the first broadcast for me of the week, which is Tuesday, I normally go to what I spoke about on this past Lord's Day, and I want to do that. I want to look at the text that we looked at in the Scripture that came from the book of 1 Thessalonians and 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 in particular. We were finishing up on the three admonitions that the Apostle Paul gives to the church there at the close of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. So I want to go to that text on the broadcast here today, and specifically in verse 27 of that text, and where the Apostle says this, "I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read unto all the holy brethren." That's the text. But before I do, I just wanted to very briefly make a comment on an item that I saw in the news and that I thought just would be interesting to address, because the Scripture actually mentions it and addresses it as well. So I put a little post out on Facebook this morning about this, but I was talking about the idea of left-handedness, and that being left-handed means that you may be limited, but you are not left out in the service of God. There's an interesting statement that is made in the book of Judges, a couple of statements actually, but in Judges chapter 20 and verse 16 it says, "Among all of this people there were 700 chosen men left-handed, and everyone could sling stones at a hair's breadth or a hair breadth and not miss." And so I noticed yesterday was what they deemed to be International Left-Handed Day. Now, let me just say something about all these different days that they come up with. I don't participate in any of these types of things normally. You know, they come up with International Brother and Sister Day, International Left-Handed Day in this particular case, International whatever. I don't know who creates these things. I always thought that some of them, maybe card companies or something are behind them, you know, because they might be able to sell more specific cards for certain types of days and so forth. I have no clue, but these things come up, you know, just about every day is some sort of international something day that is deemed by somebody to be a day where we celebrate or where we mention or highlight a certain genre of people or a certain genre of life, I guess. And so, although I'm not into that at all, I don't follow those things very closely at all, and I normally don't participate when they come along. Let me say one more thing about that, too, is we don't do it in the church either. I did in the very beginning when we first started the ministry. You know, I would a lot of times every national holiday and so forth that came up, I would try to gear the particular message towards whatever the holiday is or was. And we had stopped doing that. And one of the reasons that we did was it made it almost impossible to continue a series of studies on anything, because there were so many different events that were coming up on the calendar that if you decided to cover them all, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Independence Day, and so forth, if you decided to follow all of these things, you would be hard-pressed to be able to get through a series with any cohesion whatsoever, because you would be constantly interrupting the series in order to address that particular topic that happened to be on, you know, the national calendar. And so we don't do that anymore. I really don't. I zero in on a couple of the major holidays. We, of course, we do turn towards the incarnation of Christ as we approach the Christmas season. And I do look at the resurrection of Christ as we celebrate Easter, Resurrection Day, in this country as well. I feel that a couple of those, and maybe Thanksgiving as well, but I feel that a couple of those are so closely connected to the Scriptures, the celebration of Christ's birth, the resurrection of Christ, of giving thanksgiving to God, that I find it difficult to overlook those things and to give not to give a little bit of attention to those subjects. But a number of the other ones, we just don't do it because of the time that we have to cover the text, you know, the particular material that the Lord has laid upon our heart to go over, i.e. for us, a book of the Bible. So just a little side note there. So I did notice, though, in a couple of posts on Facebook and so forth, that it was deemed International Left-Handed Day. And although I'm not left-handed either, so it didn't jump out because of that reason, but that designation, it made me think of a verse, that verse that I just read out of Judges chapter 20 and verse 16, where it talks about the tribe of Benjamin, and about that there were 700 men that were left-handed, and yet they were very skilled with their left-handed. They were able to sling stones within a hairbreadth, you know, so in a very small area they could hit and not miss, it says here in that text. So for some reason, it appears in the Scripture that the tribe of Benjamin produced a remarkable number of left-handed men. And in fact, in Judges chapter 3, at the beginning of the book, 20 is further on in the book, obviously, but in Judges chapter 3, we are told the story of one man by the name of Ehud. And Ehud was one of the judges that God had raised up during this particular period of time. And Ehud was used of the Lord in order to deliver the people of God from the tyranny that was taking place under a wicked ruler, the king of Eglon, in this particular case. You might remember in Joshua, you know, it was Eglon was one of the five kings that had formed a confederation against the people of God and against the Gibeonites and so forth. But here we find in Judges chapter 3 that the king of Eglon is here, and the king of Eglon is going against the people of God. And so we find here in this passage that it mentions that Ehud then was the one used to slay or to kill the Moabite king of Eglon. And the description of Ehud in that passage is very simple. It simply says this, that he was a man left-handed, a man left-handed. And I thought it was even more interesting to note the simplicity of that statement in the Hebrew text. In the Hebrew text, it says, he was shut of his right hand. He was shut of his right hand. He didn't have the use, appears, of his right hand. Now, it may have meant that he had some sort of deformity or some sort of disability that he was unable to use, that caused him not to be able to use his right hand. Or it simply could be that he was left-handed, like it mentions about these other men that were here. And so it's interesting, because then his left-handedness is mentioned as an impediment or some sort of a physical deficiency that he had. And so the image of left-handed people living in a right-handed world would, I would assume, that they would be able to relate with this description that's given here, right? Everything seems to be created primarily for right-handers, and yet there's a number of people among us that are left-handed, and so they're forced, left-handed people, to live in a right-handed world. Additionally, in this particular case, the reference here, and certainly in Judges chapter 20, verse 16, it seems that in military use especially, being left-handed was seen to be an impediment to service. So there's all this different ways in which the text is speaking to us about what is taking place here. So one of the main points in this passage would be that Ehud's right-handedness was, or his right hand was weak, but that he made up for his deficiency by developing the skill of his other hand. And so from that point, I just wanted to draw a couple lessons for us today from that text of Scripture. Let me say, first of all, I was doing a little bit of reading about this left-handedness and so forth, and I saw that there was an article that just came out here just recently. It came out yesterday on this day that people were celebrating International Left-Handed Day. And this particular one, it came out of a website called fastcompany.com. I know nothing about them and their slant or whatever, but it says this. Says, psychologists explain how left-handed people work differently. And then it says, living in a world designed for right-handed people forces lefties to come up with creative solutions. Well, this was something that caught my attention because it is aligning itself with some of the points of application that I would make about what is said there concerning Ehud, concerning the 700 men of the tribe of Benjamin who are designated as being those that are left-handed or with Ehud shut out of his right hand. So it says in this article, it says this, it may be hard to believe, but left-handed people make up an estimated 11% of the population. And it goes on here to recognize or to name a few famous UCLA associate professors and so forth who were left-handed themselves. And it says that they explain this fragment of the population and how that they see the world through a unique lens. There's a quote there from him. It says, when we're left-handed, our right brains are usually dominant, and that's where creativity and intuition are centered. So it's often easier for us to be creative than logical, and our brains are more use both sides of the brains at once so that we have an advantage of also being more flexible in our thinking. So here's an article that starts off with the idea, again, of something that is viewed as an impediment, living left-handed in a right-handed world. It's an impediment, you know, to, you know, you're at a disadvantage in some way because of that, right? But right away in the story, it is turned around to not be a disadvantage, but to actually be an advantage. We have the advantage, it says, of also being more flexible in our thinking. Now, how does this impact, the article goes on to say, how left-handed people perform? And the experts explain, first of all, they're used to putting up with challenges. It says, as the daughter of right-handed parents, I didn't realize I was a lefty until I went to kindergarten. At first, writing was difficult for me until the teacher put my pencil in the other hand, and poof, I took off scribbling. Because my parents assumed that I was a righty, and why wouldn't they? Lefties are rare. I'm actually able to do most tasks with both hands. So the person is ambidextrous. And he says, with sports, for example, I'm actually stronger with my right hand, but I can play tennis just as easily as a lefty. With writing or anything that stimulates the creative aspect of work, I'm 100% a lefty, the person says. My brother was like this. My brother, which really was an advantage in baseball. He loved to play baseball, and he was ambidextrous. You know how in baseball, when a righty comes up to bat, they shift the field of play. So the outfielders, the person playing center field, will go more towards left field because a right-handed hitter will tend to pull the ball more towards left field than a left-handed hitter. So when a righty comes up, they make an adjustment out in the field, and even the infield to some extent. They adjust their playing area so that they can be in a better position to hit what most likely where the ball is going to go from that hitter. Well, what my brother would do is he would start off taking a lining up, you know, on the right-hand side. And then before the pitcher would, you know, actually pitch the ball, he'd switch over to the left-hand side. And so, you know, they'd be scrambling in the outfield to then go to the left-hand side to make an adjustment for where he was going to hit. So, he had a tremendous advantage that he could do both in this situation. The article goes on to say this, the ability to move between both sides of our body is actually pretty common. Especially according to a person called Resnick, one of the psychologists here that is mentioned. And it's one of the ways that us lefties work strategically because we've grown up with challenges of being in a different world and nearly everything is designed for right-handed people. We tend to be nimble. Even if it's as small as adapting to doors, tools, or scissors, she says, we've developed functional solutions for it all. That makes left-handed more flexible in the office and fast to react. Subtle things are more difficult for us, like opening the door, cutting a piece of paper, even writing left to right. But we rise to the occasion, she says. She sees a second, or the article at least lists a second advantage. They see and feel the general idea of every issue. One way to look, the article says, that at the contrast between lefties and righties, according to other psychologists, is how they approach problem solving. While those on the right might apply logical solutions to an issue, she explains that lefties have the innate ability to come up with several options as opposed to just one black and white route. So we see it from this particular perspective. Resnick has experienced this personally, explaining she often sees or feels the general idea of the task at hand rather than needing to break it down an issue into specific tangible parts. When parents come into my office for my help in their child's behavior, I take time to listen to their concerns, but I form an opinion from a feeling I get from my intuition rather than from a logical list of problems they offer. I am able to look under the words to the bigger picture of the emotions, and I find more creative solutions than many others, she shares. This is juxtaposed with her right-handed sister, who will make logical points that form the basis of her opinions, her decisions, and her behavior. Quote, it hurts my brain to pull the logic out. I can, but it's not my choice, she continues. So again, notes another advantage here in this particular article about, you know, the tending not to rely just on bald-faced logic as a solution, but to wonder, you know, to look a little bit deeper, maybe take into a little bit more consideration the emotional aspect of what is here, not dismissing those things so easily, which a very logical person may tend to do. The emotions don't get in, you know, don't let the emotions get in the way of the facts, they might say, you know, these types of things, rather than at least considering how the emotional aspects, how the feelings are adding to the facts, you know, are complicating the issue that is being looked at there. So I thought that that was quite interesting. Now, I read all of this, and I'll just mention a couple of the other points that they make here and then make my application. But it says here that they tend to follow creative intuition. They process information quicker. They seem to be more independent and so forth. And so these are some of the things that this particular article sees or attempts to highlight as ways that left-handed people have adapted, or the advantages even that left-handed people have. Now, bringing that back into the points that I made, the main point being that Ehud's right hand was weak, but that he made up for his deficiency by developing the skill of his other hand, which is what the text, the point that the text seems to make to us. A couple of the lessons that we can draw from these descriptions of these men of God in the book of Judges are, I think one of them should be this, that we should not allow our natural limitations to prevent us from being of service to God. You know, don't we hear this so often in ourselves? Maybe we hear it in our own head, or we hear it in the words of others and so forth. You know, so often people seem to use their limitations as an excuse for not being involved in God's work, or not being participating in it, or be used of God. For instance, we hear people say things like, if I only had this ability or that talent, then I would serve the Lord. Then I would really, you know, be able to serve the Lord the way that I want to serve the Lord. Well, isn't that really just a... Couldn't a left-handed person say the same type of thing? You know, if I was only right-handed, then I would, you know, use my talents and ability. Couldn't Ehud had said the same thing? Couldn't he have said, "Yeah, God needs a judge here. God has selected me to be a judge. But what can I do in the service of God? How can I be used to slay the enemies of God? How can I be used to help deliver or develop the people of God and their worship of God and so forth? How could I possibly be used? I have this debilitating limitation that I have here. I can't be used in the way that I want to be used of the Lord." Well, certainly, I think that this text really destroys that whole argument, doesn't it? And especially when we consider what this text, the point of this text, and the way that the other examples that we find throughout the scripture, that God uses weak instruments for his work. This is a regular pattern with the Lord, right? We have this treasure in earthen vessels, the apostle says, that the rest of the text, I'm doing it from memory, but that the power may be of him, right? That the glory goes to God. It's not these clay pots that are, you know, special. It's what's in the clay pots, right? It's the Spirit of the living God. It's what comes out of the clay pots, the Word of God, and so forth, and ministering to others. It's not the pot itself, but it is what the Lord has done within the pot. So the Apostle Paul, in another text of Scripture, he says, "For when I am weak, then am I strong." Seems to be a paradoxical statement, right, when he says this. But what he means is, when he says, "when I am weak," means that he is not leaning upon his own limited ability to do things. And Paul had a tremendous amount of ability when he said this, right? I mean, he was quite the lawyer, quite the able to make such great reasonable arguments and so forth. And yet he considered himself to have very limited abilities. One of the things that theologians deduce from the Word of God about the Apostle Paul was that he may not have been that eloquent in his speech. You know, where you had other people in the Scriptures that were noted for their eloquence and the way that they spoke, we don't find that with the Apostle Paul. But he did seem to have this ability, this great ability. He understood the law. He understood, you know, obviously coming from being a Pharisee himself and so forth. He understood deeply all of those things to the core and was able to articulate them. But he didn't rely upon his own limited ability, but rather he looked to the Lord to do the work through him. And that's what we should do, so that God's power is then made manifest in us. One final point. Left-handed, right-handed, whatever we are, let's not allow our limitations to be used as an excuse for not being of service to God. Let us use what God has graciously given to us for His glory, right? Whatever the way that He has created us, left-handed, right-handed, creative or left-brained or right-brained, right? It doesn't matter. However God has in His providence, however He has created us, whatever place He has put us, let us use it all for God's glory.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.